Waves of Deception by Elder R. Conrad Schultz of the 70. Why wear a life jacket on a calm sea? The answer came out of nowhere. In this world, things are not always what they appear to be. We sometimes are unaware of the powerful forces pulling on us. Appearances can be deceptive. A few years ago, I had an experience with deceptive appearances where the results could have been tragic. My wife's cousin and family were visiting us from Utah. It was a calm summer day on the Oregon coast, and we were fishing in the ocean. It was pleasant. We were having a good time catching salmon, when for some reason, I turned around to see a huge 8-foot wave bearing down upon us. I had time only to shout a warning before the wave hit us broadside. Somehow the boat stayed upright, but Gary, our cousin, was thrown overboard. We were all wearing life jackets and with some difficulty maneuvered the boat, half filled with water, to where he was floating and pulled him aboard. We had been hit by what is called a sneaker wave. It doesn't happen often, and there is no way to predict it. Later we found that up and down the Oregon-Washington coast, 5 people had drowned that day in 3 separate boating accidents. All were caused by the same sneaker wave, which for no apparent reason had welled up off the ocean surface. At the time we went out, the ocean was flat and calm and gave no sign of any danger. But the ocean turned out to be deceptive and not at all what it appeared to be. More sneaky than waves. As we make our way through this life's journey, we must continually be on guard and watch for those things that are deceptive and not what they appear to be. If we are not careful, the sneaker waves in life can be as deadly as those in the ocean. One of the sneaky ploys of the adversary is to have us believe that unquestioning obedience to the principles and commandments of God is blind obedience. His goal is to have us believe that we should be following our own worldly ways and selfish ambitions. This he does by persuading us that blindly following the prophets and obeying the commandments is not thinking for ourselves. He teaches that it is not intelligent to do something just because we are told to do so by a living prophet or by prophets who speak to us from the Scriptures. Our unquestioning obedience to the Lord's commandments is not blind obedience. President Boyd K. Packer of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught us about this in the April 1983 conference. Latter-day Saints are not obedient because they are compelled to be obedient. They are obedient because they know certain spiritual truths and have decided, as an expression of their own individual agency, to obey the commandments of God. We are not obedient because we are blind. We are obedient because we can see. We might call this faith obedience. With faith, Abraham was obedient in preparing Isaac for sacrifice. With faith, Nephi was obedient in obtaining the brass plates. With faith, a little child obediently jumps from a height into the strong arms of his father. Faith obedience is a matter of trust. The question is simple. Do we trust our Heavenly Father? Do we trust our prophets? God's wisdom. Another of the adversary's deceptions is to have us believe that the wisdom and the learning of the world is the only source of knowledge we should follow. The prophet Nephi's brother Jacob understood the adversary's plan and warned us about it. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one! Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men! When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 28. Jacob did not say that we should not be learned. He went on to tell us that it is good to be learned if we hearken to the counsels of God. See 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 29. Some come to believe that you may pick and choose which of God's commandments to follow. They conveniently label many commandments as little things that can be put off and that don't appear to be life-threatening or too important. Things like saying our prayers, honoring the Sabbath, reading the Scriptures, paying our tithing, attending our meetings, and the list goes on. Our Heavenly Father communicates in a very clear way to His children. In the teachings of the Gospel, there is no uncertain sound of which the Apostle Paul speaks. See 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. There is no question regarding the meaning of what is being said or of feelings prompted by the Spirit. We have not been left alone. We have the Scriptures, the prophets, loving parents and leaders. How not to be deceived? Why do we sometimes stray? Why do we let ourselves be influenced by the deception of the adversary? The solution to his deception is simple in its answer, but sometimes it is difficult in its application. President Harold B. Lee, 1899-1973, spoke of the Lord, the adversary, and the solution to the adversary's power of deception. We have some tight places to go before the Lord is through with this church and the world in this dispensation. The power of Satan will increase. We see it in evidence on every hand. We must learn to give heed to the words and commandments that the Lord shall give through His prophet. There will be some things that take patience and faith. Then President Lee added a warning when he went on to say that we may not always like what comes from the authority of the church, because it may conflict with our personal views or interfere with some of our social life. However, if we will listen to and do these things as if from the mouth of the Lord Himself, we will not be deceived, and great blessings will be ours. Wear your life jacket. It brings us back to obedience. It will always be so. It's part of the plan of eternal happiness. I know of no doctrine that is more critical to our well-being in this life and the next. All Scriptures teach obedience, and every apostle and prophet who has ever lived has taught the principle of obedience. Sometimes it is necessary to be obedient, even when we do not understand the reason for the law. It takes faith to be obedient. The prophet Joseph Smith, in teaching obedience, said that whatever God requires is right, although we may not see the reason thereof till long after. I am grateful that we had on our life jackets that summer day on the ocean. I am thankful we were able to avoid the tragedy that came from that sneaker wave. It is my prayer that we will continue to wear our life jackets of obedience in order to avoid the tragedy that will surely come if we are deceived and follow the enticings of the adversary. I witness to you that our Father in heaven lives, that He loves us, and that by being unquestionably obedient to His commandments, we can once again dwell with Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Note, from an April 2002 General Conference address, end of note. For more on obedience and agency, read this month's Q&A, Questions and Answers, on page 14 of this issue. End of the article, Waves of Deception, by Elder R. Conrad Schultz of the 70. Read by David Shaw.
Instant Messages. Get Help by Carol Ashby Scharnhorst. It was Friday night and football season at my high school. As drum major of the marching band, I was having a great time cheering with the band and directing stand tunes. Then things changed drastically when I heard a desperate cry. Get help! Jeff has stopped breathing. I found Jeff, a tuba player, lying across a bleacher, slipping in and out of consciousness and gasping for breath. Suddenly, the all-important football game faded from significance. My number one priority was to get help for Jeff. Paramedics arrived, and it wasn't until after Jeff was safely on his way to the hospital that I even thought about checking the scoreboard. After the game, I realized that too many times in my own life I have allowed myself to get so involved in a fun, yet unimportant event of life, that I failed to recognize someone's spiritual cry for help. During the football game, it bothered me to watch Jeff struggle for breath and hear the cheers and laughter of fans that had no idea that anything was wrong. I wonder how Heavenly Father must feel seeing some of His children suffer while others carry on, oblivious of the need for assistance. Heavenly Father loves His children and wants them to look out for each other, but we cannot do that unless we tune in to others' needs. I pray that I will not let myself be so absorbed in the routines and events of life that I fail to hear a child of God's cry for help.
An Honor Earned by Jonathan Perez. Because my parents were busy providing for all five of my brothers and sisters, I developed at a young age a self-motivated attitude towards scouting. As I entered high school, I faced the decision of whether to complete my Eagle Scout. As I talked to my friends, they ridiculed the idea of finishing my Eagle. One day, I watched President Thomas S. Monson give a talk on TV on the importance of achieving the rank of Eagle and how much it helps young men. His words motivated me to try my hardest despite what my friends thought about getting my Eagle. So from that day on, I made a goal for myself. I knew, from that moment on, that with the Lord's help and my willingness to work hard, I would reach my goal. Because my parents weren't forcing me to get my Eagle, it was something I decided in my heart that I was going to do. Even though scouting wasn't popular in my particular culture, I followed the guidance of my counselor, and at the end, I knew that sticking to this goal made me a better person. If we follow what the Lord wants us to do and stick to positive goals, He will help us through any situation. This experience taught me that no matter what obstacles or challenges come my way, the Lord will help me overcome my shortcomings and weakness. See Ether, chapter 12, verse 27. It doesn't matter what background we come from or if we are rich or poor. We can achieve our goals because we have the Lord by our side.
Looking Up by Linda Frogley. I love seminary. I have often felt the Spirit there and have left feeling like a better person. On one particular day, however, I not only left feeling the Spirit, but I left with an answer to prayer. The night before that particular day, I had asked Heavenly Father if the church was true. After my prayer, I felt peaceful, but I was still not sure. I decided I would sleep on it. The next day, my seminary teacher started the lesson with a video of some of the general authorities bearing their testimonies. I felt the Spirit burning inside of me as we talked about testimonies and how little things can strengthen them. He then put in another video of testimonies of kids who went to my school. I stared at the screen, waiting for someone I knew. I saw some people I recognized, but I saw no close friends. Then it happened. A girl I look up to so much appeared on the screen. As I looked into her eyes, she bore her testimony about Christ's atonement. Then she said these words, "I know this church is true." The Spirit overcame me. I realized my prayer was answered, and it was answered by one of the people that I look up to the most. Heavenly Father knew that I needed to hear someone very close to me share her testimony of the church. I am so grateful for the strong testimonies my friends have. Heavenly Father does answer our prayers. Everyday Scriptures by Bethany E. Walker. I never used to find time to read the Scriptures daily, especially with waking up early to go to school and long hours of homework. The only times I read were at Sunday school, in young women class, and a couple of times a week for family scripture study. Despite all the promised blessings of daily scripture reading, I always put off my personal study. That is, until my cousin came to visit. My cousin, a student at Brigham Young University, Idaho, was my roommate at our home while she worked at a church ranch in Florida. Every night she would pray and read her scriptures, and, since the light was on anyway, I would join her. Gradually, I developed the habit also, and when she went back to Idaho, I continued personal scripture study on my own. I know there is a lot more I need to read and understand, but daily reading has truly blessed me. The scriptures have come to life for me, especially in Nephi, Mosiah, and Alma. Whenever I begin to murmur and complain, I can look back to what I have learned in the scriptures and make changes in my life. It is fun to find the stories I learned when I was in primary and read the complete versions from the sacred records of God's prophets. I am so thankful for the example my cousin set by studying the scriptures daily. I know scripture study has helped and will continue to help me throughout my life. Note: Instant Messages features personal experiences, insights into favorite hymns and scriptures, and other uplifting thoughts. If you have a personal experience that has strengthened your testimony and you'd like us to consider it for Instant Messages, please email it to newera@ldschurch.org or send it to New Era Instant Messages, 50 East North Temple Street, Room 2420, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3220, USA. Please limit submissions to 400 words or less. They may be edited for length and clarity. End of note.
End of the article, Instant Messages.